Hello, and welcome to issue number 3.
Issue 3.
Of the Rancor's Brothel.
Rancor's Brothel.
Cussing, you're an asshole.
Right, sorry. Continue.
Fucking cockstain. I am your co-host, Matt Etter.
I am your co-host, Dustin Leinenbach.
And we have a guest today, Dustin, on your end, who is that significantly more handsome than you gentlemen.
It's true. It's Kurt Whalen!
Yay! Hooray, Kurt! Yay! Kurt, welcome to the show, friend. Brother.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
You have a beverage?
I not a manly one, no, so I refrain from saying what it is.
Oh, enjoy your Zima.
It's fuck you, it's water. I have water. My throat gets beklempt.
Oh, okay. As long as it wasn't like fucking, I don't know, Smirnoff Ice or something.
I don't like dudes. We'll go with that.
You can drink Smirnoff Ice and not like dudes.
Keep telling yourself.
Technically, you could suck a cock and not like dudes. It's just about shoving it in there.
I got nothing. Okay, I agree, yes.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, I've had sex with plenty of women I didn't think were attractive. So what's a penis you wrote in there?
Yeah, for now, I'm very scared. I'm not sure if I should be here anymore.
It's only gay if you cuddle afterwards.
Yeah. The other day, Kurt's fucking me in the ass. Or no, fuck. Ah, I said it wrong.
Yeah, you did. Now be ashamed of yourself.
Now you just told a story about Kurt fucking me in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, that tragic joke just went south. More tragic.
Well, the other day, Kurt fucked me in the ass.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
So anyway, let's stop talking about butt fuckery and let's move on to the nerdy things.
Yay!
Dustin.
Let's start out with the captain's log.
The captain's log, stardate 2/27/13. What do we got? Mm-hmm.
I want to give a big thanks to Mr. Drewski Booski for coming on the show last time and letting us into his brain about Firefly. He brought up a lot of really good points, and I think he won you over.
On Firefly?
Yeah, did he win you over? Have you watched any Firefly?
Oh, uh-huh. not this week, I haven't. On another show I do, Instant Film Review, we're doing something this week called Red Box Roundup, and that's mm-hmm. where we, in the week between recordings, have to cram in as many Red Box and Netflix movies as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to get as many new releases as we can, and I have not had time to do anything else.
Okay, but you intend to.
I intend to watch all 14 produced episodes of Firefly.
Good news. Okay, the Facebook page is up. We talked about throwing up a Facebook page, and since I'm such a extraordinaire as far as media goes, I got the Facebook page going, and we've had a lot of people comment and post, and it's kind of blown up in the last week.
So please, by all means, join. That is facebook.com/...
Rancor's Brothel.
There you go. Hey, also, in the realm of Rancor's Brothel things, want to go ahead and point out that we are a part of the Follow Network's family. If you're listening to us on iTunes or from our Libsyn page, that's great. You can also hear us at www.followthe.tv. You can also hear a plethora of other very interesting shows like Mad Chat, Instant Film Review, Follow Sports, Hey, Kickstart This. Follow Networks really has a show for everybody out there. So if maybe dick and fart jokes and comics aren't your thing, you can always check out, another one of our fine programs. Okay.
And if you are listening to us on iTunes, please rate and review any of the Follow Network shows. We would really appreciate that.
Did you see our new logo?
At the our new Rancor's Brothel logo?
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah, it's on www.followthe.tv, so check it out.
Let's look it up.
It is nice to have a techie boss who can do those things for us. So thank you, CEO Chad. Now.
Thanks, Chad.
Do we have anything else in old news? Old news, old business, whatever, fucking, Captain's
Log. I've got a few more things. As far as awesome points, you are at 4. I am actually at 2. I gave myself an extra awesome point for at least knowing that Punisher did kill the whole Marvel Universe. Whether or not you have read it or whether or not you think Punisher's a cumtwat.
I was saying twat awful, so I'm glad you went with twat in there. That's actually really good.
There you go. I did give myself an extra point for at least knowing something about
that's
Punisher.
Okay. That's okay. That's fine. I find that completely acceptable, especially for a guy who doesn't read a whole lot of comics. So you held your own pretty well. I'm looking forward to whatever situation you've contrived for this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Might I say I was very proud of your full throw defense of Boba Fett, and I agree, he is badass, and no one else comes close. Thank you.
Well, and if we can point out, too, guys, you know, the Punisher, there's been three Punisher movies in the history of the world, and three different guys playing the Punisher because it sucks balls. Boba Fett is getting his own film from Disney. So we're getting a standalone Boba Fett feature.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
Despite the fact that I wanted Punisher to put up a better fight, I still really like Boba Fett. He's actually a contender for one of my favorite media heroes.
Anti-hero, please.
Anti-hero. Oh, sorry, anti-hero.
If you really want an enjoyable listen, you got 4 minutes to kill. Get online, find MC Chris's Fett's Vet.
Oh,
MC
yeah.
Chris is a nerdcore rapper, and he likes to rap about things that we talk about on the show. And his fucking opus is Fett's Vet. Great fucking track. If you've ever seen Zack and Mary make a porno, it's on that movie. Moving on, what's your next bit of Captain blogginess?
Well, speaking of Punisher versus Boba Fett, today I actually threw up a survey on Google.
I thought
Google
you were going to throw up something like.
not today. No Ipecac for me today. I made up a survey for Punisher versus Boba Fett and put it up on Google. I posted the links on our Twitter page, the Facebook page, my Facebook page. And actually, we got the results, and it's 64% to 36% Fett won it. So I thought you guys should all know that.
It was a clearer victory than the past four presidential elections. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, hopefully this next versus is going to be a little closer.
Ooh.
But I think next up is probably Nerd of the Week.
Nerd of the Week? Mm-hmm. Celebrity Nerd of the Week.
Sorry, Celebrity Nerd of the Week.
Celebrity Nerd! You gotta have the theme song, man. Okay, Celebrity Nerd of the Week is Mr. Mark Hamill. You're saying to yourself, you mean Luke Skywalker? No shit, Sherlock. That was just a part in a movie. But let me tell you about Mr. Mark Hamill. Mark was an army brat. And he lived in his first 18 years of life, he lived in, I think he said, 12 different states. The one constant between all the army bases that he lived on was following comics continuity. He remembers one of the worst points in his life was when comics went up to 12 cents a book. He has been a long time reader, lover, and collector of all things comics and geek related. He wrote, directed, and produced the movie Comic Book The Movie. People like Stan Lee, Kevin Smith, really great guys. He is the voice, or he's not currently the voice of, but if you were at all interested in Batman in the 90s, for you, the voice of the Joker will always be Mark Hamill's Joker. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. He also does the video games. The new video games just came out, the Batman ones. He does Joker in all those.
Yeah,
badass.
Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, I think it is.
Yep, that's yeah, exactly right? That. Yep.
And that actually has Kevin Conroy is doing the voice of Batman, too. So Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill will always be my Batman and Joker in my head. When I watch The Dark Knight Rises Part 1 and 2, great fucking flicks. But in my head, I'm hearing Kevin Conroy and I'm hearing fucking Mark Hamill. So
cool.
Well, then Mark Hamill, too. You'll know this, Matt. But what movie is his character, the Cock Knocker?
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
There we go. Yes, he is.
Hey, kids.
Again.
Hey, kids.
Yes.
It's Mark Hamill.
Applause. Yay. Yay.
Really great on the Smodcast Network. Fat Man on Batman did a really great 2-part interview. Kevin Smith and Mark Hamill. Really, really good piece of listening. If you want to pop it in while you're driving your car, after you're done listening to our show and giving it a 5-star review, check it out on Smodcast. It's pretty good stuff. So, Celebrity Nerd.
Yeah. So while we have a little bit of a break here, I wanted to talk about of course, our podcast is on iTunes. I looked at the related podcasts that were, I guess, bunched up with ours. One of them, since we're under hobbies, One of them is called the Wood Whisperer.
Penis. Lovely tonight.
It's a secret hobby of yours, I see.
So I assume they bunch this up with stuff like basket weaving and woodworking and stuff, but the first one that popped up.
I didn't put this, like, you know, I didn't want to put comedy show because, I mean, I think our show's funny. I think you and I have a great rapport, but, you know, it's not about the funny, like Mad Chat's a comedy show. It's about trying to be fun, not trying to be funny, but about how life is funny. Fucking, it's not just movies because we're going to talk about comics. It's not just comics. We're going to talk about, fucking TV shows. We're not just going to talk about TV shows. We're going to talk about, you know, like tech and anything that you geek out on. So the only thing I could think of was it's about people's hobbies, about their loves, so hobbies and games.
Right. That's one of the cool things about being a nerd. It almost has its own spirit. You really can't define it by any one thing.
In today's world, it's something to be proud of. Like, you know, they always show nerds being like those guys that walk in the comic book store. There's no girls around, but being a nerd is kind of cool now. Mm-hmm. It's accepted, so I mean,
well,
fuck them.
I went to my comic shop last week, and there were no chicks there, so it really wasn't that
cool. Okay, so yeah, there's still no chicks, but still, at least people are like, hey, these guys aren't, you know, completely pathetic. They're right above that, so,
well, and
yeah.
Things like The Walking Dead, for instance, completely legitimize us. I mean, when people are like, oh, that show is so compelling, oh my god, I love it, and then they realize it's from a fucking comic book, legitimizes it. So,
yeah.
Hoorah!
And one last thing before we jump into the verses, speaking of The Walking Dead, I really like, during The Talking Dead, I like the zombie apocalypse survival tips. That was probably my favorite part about The Talking Dead this time.
I didn't like it because I have said for like 20 years that I always keep a tampon on me in case I ever get shot because it's a perfect way to plug a bullet hole.
So you didn't like it because someone else said something that you already know?
No, something that I've already said.
Mm. Well, it's something you already know as well.
Well, if you get a chance, if you like that shit, because I do too, have you read anything by Max Brooks? Yeah, fucking right, yeah. Read that shit, it's awesome.
You know who his dad is, right?
I don't.
That's Mel Brooks' kid.
Oh, shit, seriously?
Yeah.
Max, I had no
Brooks
idea.
Mel Brooks' son.
Awesome. So, the guy's got some writing talent. I mean, World War Z is phenomenal. The movie's going to probably suck, but the book was awesome.
Well, and just the survival guide that he did.
Yeah.
The Zombie Apocalypse Survival Guide, written like a legitimate Army field manual. It's a very interesting read. And it's a fast read, too, because it's not like a story. There's not a whole lot of compelling characters and shit. It's like literally like Dustin, have you ever read it?
I flipped through it.
Flipped through it? Where do you think is the number one spot to be in a zombie apocalypse?
Honestly, I say my first instinct is to go to, like, a Gander Mountain, but everybody's going to go to Gander Mountain. Everybody's going to go to, like, the big stores.
Where would you hole up?
Guns.
You would hole up in a building that has, you know, a whole wall pretty much made out of glass?
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
Honestly, fucking, you know, stuff.
I've got a buddy I worked with in Attica, Indiana, who has quite a few guns. He's got a lot of ammunition, a lot of...
All right, that was a job.
A lot of firearms, and I think that...
Go ahead and mute our cell phones, gentlemen.
Yeah, in a small town, you're going to have a lot less of a zombie horde. I would go to a small town to meet somebody who has a lot of firearms.
Okay.
Personally.
Well, the correct answer, according to Max Brooks, is an oil platform.
Oh, like off the coast? Like a...
Yeah.
Offshore? Smart. Yeah.
The zombies cannot swim and are generally not buoyant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, although in the World War Z, they can go from shore to shore in the ocean because they walk on the floor and they can get across from ocean to ocean.
But you can't climb up a platform.
No, you can't.
Mm-hmm. Easily defendable, food source with the ocean. You can desalinate water pretty easily with some plastic and some jugs. And to top it off, to have climate control and have power, you are pumping oil. Like, those things are self-sustaining as long as the oil runs. And you're not going to be burning a whole lot of it if there's just five of you on there.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good way to survive.
A lot of those big oil rigs probably have pretty substantial canteens and living quarters as well for the crews.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, they have to. They're only resupplied, like, once every few months. And
I think
like
yeah, I think it's like a six-month stint when you go on one of those things.
Right.
So, anyway, there you go.
Yeah.
You want to versus me? Do you want to get embarrassed again, Dustin? Are you ready?
I guess I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got Hank McCoy versus Anung Unrama. It's going to be Beast versus Hellboy.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Beast versus Hellboy. And, like, a lot of people ask when I say, oh, what do you think about this guy versus this guy? They're like, well, they ask for very specific situations. I want to come up with a very broad, universal situation to put these characters in so we don't have to spend time thinking about the perfect.
All right, so give me the setting. You didn't think of this ahead of time, did you, you twat?
Well, no, I wanted to talk a little bit with you about it. What do you think is the most universal setting to put these guys in?
Ooh, well, it's going to, I mean, God, a part of what makes Hank McCoy is his fucking brain. His mutation not only, you know, made him physically different, but part of his mutation is an extremely enhanced IQ. Hi, Ashley. what else? So if he has any possibility of outmaneuvering, outthinking, maybe even out-teching his enemy, he's going to be able to take it, and he'll hands down, he's going to be able to do it.
Right.
If he is in a scenario where that is possible, if you just throw him like naked in the jungle, and then throw Hellboy naked in the jungle, that's a different story.
Beast has it, hands down.
You think Beast would have it in the jungle?
I think so.
Yeah, because he's all like monkey shit and like jumping around the trees. And
oh yeah, for sure.
Going all nimbly bimbly from tree to tree.
I mean,
milk from a saucer. Now, what is so damn funny?
Now, I think Hellboy in the jungle would. He doesn't really use firearms, and he's a horrible shot. His big attack, yeah. Hellboy is a horrible shot.
We're comparing comics to movie. That was in the movie, yeah, he's not a great shot, but in the comics, he's kind of a weapons expert. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the comics, he is.
Well, he's a lot better than what I've read.
Multiple articles that I read and wiki posts, like he's not very dexterous. Like, his big attacks are more, like, power-type attacks. I mean, he ripped a tree out of the ground once.
With his fucking rock arm, yeah.
Well, yeah, with his rock arm.
With the other one, he can aim a fucking gun. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. I think you should really look into it. I think that, I think he's not a good shot. Then that's...
So you think Hellboy is either going to use mysticism or brute strength against Hank McCoy, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, are you talking Hank McCoy circa 1966? Are you talking circa 1990, or are you talking 2012?
See, these are the questions that keep coming up, and is it fair to say just both of them at, like, peak performance, no matter...
Okay, that's fine, peak performance.
Peak performance.
Yeah, because...
That'll save us a lot of time.
I mean, with Hank McCoy, he's had two mutations, you know?
Okay.
He went from his humanoid mutation into the Beast... that we know from our youth, he has had a secondary mutation occur in which he is much more feline now.
And is that the same mutation where the stronger he gets, the dumber he gets, or is that just for a short period of time?
That is like, not true. Yeah,
he did mutate. That is a thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not a thing, like a continuity current thing.
Okay, so it was just like a little offshoot sort of
thing. It was like a story.
I thought that was pretty interesting, though. An interesting spin on the Beast where he gets dumber the stronger he gets.
That would be interesting. But no, he's, I believe, there's a ranking in the Marvel Universe of the smartest people, and I believe he is number 8.
Okay.
I could be wrong. It might be Amadeus Cho at 8, but I want to say it's Hank McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
8th smartest man in the Marvel Universe, too, where you're talking, you got fucking Iron Man building fucking anything he wants. You got Reed Richards traveling interdimensionally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty fucking smart, so...
Yep. I think he would be able to think his way out of it. I mean, he would be able to think it. He would be able to put himself in a situation to where he can use the environment around him to take down Hellboy.
I think a Beast like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Predator, like setting up some crazy-ass traps, maybe even using like the leaves, like alchemy and shit. Like, if he knows chemicals, Phil Nota makes. I don't know. I kind of have that image in my head for some
reason.
That
is a good point. Yeah, if you throw him into a fucking a desert, even he's gonna figure out a way to make glass shards out of the sand. You know, mm-hmm. through pressure and heat. I gotta give it to Hank. I mean,
I think the one thing that the Hellboy has on Hank is he has a healing ability close to Wolverine's healing ability.
He does, but Beast has a pretty good healing factor as well.
Yeah, he does. He's very durable. He's much more durable than Hellboy. Hellboy actually can get bloodied pretty easily. He can heal fast, but he can, like, plain old attacks, like the claws on Beast, for example, will be able to, I don't want to say penetrate, but I'm going to say they'll be able to penetrate.
They'll be able to penetrate Hellboy, especially from behind. Yeah.
I mean, Hellboy's been beaten up quite a bit, and he's always come out of it. He's got a sword through his chest.
I'm going to be devil's advocate for a second. Think of, like, all the creatures that Hellboy has taken down. I mean, some of them are far more badass than Beast is. So, like, that kind of throws in for me the equation, too. Like, he's taken down some pretty mean customers. Like, is Beast really holding up to some of the demons he's put down?
But think of this. Hellboy is a title character, right? He is the leader of the book. You know he's going to win. Beast is a tertiary character. Mm-hmm. Beast is a member of the X-Men. Beast is a member of the Avengers. It's not like the week, oh my god, oh, I can't wait for Tuesday, the new Beast book comes out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a fair point.
There's an element of a difference there, you know? The hero's going to generally at least live, maybe not win, but live in the Hellboy books.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my thought there. I believe in the Hellboy universe, in the Dark Horse universe, I mean, Hellboy is as good as it gets. He's doing well. He's going to take care of business. But if we threw Hellboy into the Marvel universe, I think he's going to get his ass whooped.
It's very close. I really think you're right. If you did throw him into Marvel universe, he'd have.
I think Stephen Strange could kill him with mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
I think Beast could kill him with the brain. I think Wolverine could probably kill him with brute strength and a battle of healing factors.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if you threw Beast into the Dark Horse universe? Like, I mean, Beast fighting Hellboy in Hell.
No, I still think Beast would win. Not in Hell. He doesn't go to Hell. He's from another dimension, not actual Hell.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
He's like the spawn of a demon.
That's not something I read. I just
in between
assumed.
Dimensions.
Okay, maybe when I read Demon, I just assumed Hell.
Yeah, Demon is used loosely in comics, man.
Yeah. Okay,
I mean, I have a book, like, literally right here, Marvel's The Son of Satan, number four. Not really The Son of Satan. It's not real. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't know, do you want to put it to the listeners? We'll throw up another survey and see what they think.
I love when you say throw up. Every time you say throw up, I think of that time I got you to drink Ipecac, which was probably the crowning achievement of my college career. Oh. I met my wife in college.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you drinking Ipecac was a little better. I don't know. Might be close.
Awesome. Sorry, Natalie.
She's not listening.
Well, I mean, she'll listen to the podcast.
Fuck, she might do that. You're right. let's go to the meats. The meat and the potatoes.
Okay, the meats and the potatoes.
The meat and the potatoes. Hey, what are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about something that I've been... it's slowly been popping up in my research, and because they're so widespread, I want to talk about Dark Horse Comics.
Dark Horse Comics sounds good.
Yeah, whenever I look into things like Star Wars and some of the other the big names, Dark Horse Comics keep popping up, like Firefly. Dark Horse Comics pops up. So how do you want to start it off, sir?
I guess just guys, if you don't know what Dark Horse is. It is the third largest producer and distributor of comic books, right behind the big two, Marvel and DC.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded in 1986 up in Milwaukee, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. By Mr. Mike Richardson.
Yeah, Mike Richardson. And it's kind of like Image to an extent. It's a lot more creator-owned materials. Like Frank Miller's Sin City, for instance, is a Dark Horse production, and he owns the rights to Sin City. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the big thing when McFarlane and a couple of those guys split from Marvel and DC, was because they create a character and then the company owns it. They didn't want that. They wanted creator-owned art.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you get with these smaller production units, which is awesome, I think. Mm-hmm. It really leads you into some really fun places in comic books. With no Dark Horse. Dark Horse does a lot of versus things, I've noticed. Have you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. He's got Joker versus the Mask, Batman versus Predator, Superman versus Aliens. He started it out.
I want to show you right here. I've got
Batman versus Predator.
I got the three book series right here. I actually just read it about a week and a half ago.
Oh, so, cool.
Pretty cool. Batman ends up beating on a Predator with a baseball bat. Pretty cool.
Does it really? He started off the big versus with Alien versus Predator.
I've got some Alien versus Predator in my collection. This is RoboCop versus Terminator.
Uh-huh.
That was a video game back in the day, if you don't remember. They do a lot of crossover events. They did what? Aliens versus Predator, Batman versus Aliens, Batman versus Predator.
Superman versus Aliens.
Superman versus Aliens. I didn't know that one. I'd like to look that one up. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
A lot of really good stuff comes out of those verses, because they are fun. You never get the definitive answer that you really want unless it's a clear cut. Like, are they going to let Batman get beat by the Predator? No.
Right, no.
They're not going to let that happen. But you still get scared for them. You know, it's fun. They're fun reads. What were you saying before I interrupted you?
So how do the... How does the rights work out for that? Like, are they allowed to have Superman in a Dark Horse comic? I mean, I'm sure they're allowed to, but like, do they have to work that out with DC first, or is Superman just kind of like,
an
entity?
Now, listeners, you can't see what I'm holding up to the screen, but I'm holding up Batman versus Predator number one, that we can see. Okay. We have both Dark Horse and DC logos on there. Much like the Marvel and DC crossover event of 95-96, I believe that this is a conjunction work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know what? Let's get both of our books to sell, and let's make something really big. Because DC doesn't have the rights to Predator. They can't write Predator into their stories. So, hey, here's a really fun idea. Let's try this out.
And see, we were talking about this a little bit ago, because, like, obviously, Disney has bought Lucasfilms. And Dark Horse, really, I mean, Marvel's done a lot of Star Wars stuff, but so has Dark Horse. I mean, they've done, I think I looked up, 83 different series. And we were wondering, like, what's going to happen with the comics? Is Disney taking over the rights from Dark Horse? Does Dark Horse retain it? And even Mike Richardson got quoted, like, he's not even sure what the hell's going to go on up there either, which I'm kind of really interested to see how that works out, because there's so much new potential now with Disney owning the whole damn thing.
It's probably going to end up like how the Clone Wars is. Clone Wars is a Cartoon Network's production.
Yeah.
And when their contract is up, it will become a Disney XD production.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, putting Star Wars in the Disney universe. It'll probably be a very similar thing whenever the comic contract goes up. I mean, they could have a contract like how Sony had with Spider-Man. You got to make it every 10 years or you lose the rights. So if that's the case, then Dark Horse is going to keep pumping these things out like there's no tomorrow. If not, then I'm sure once if it's a linear, like a timeline contract, I'm sure as soon as it runs out, I bet Disney gets the rights back.
I'm just going to start working on Mickey Mouse versus Darth Vader comic and, you know, see where that goes. That's going to be a great crossover, yeah.
See if it catches any wind.
Yeah, you know, makes
you
some
know,
money.
For your viewing pleasure here, now I have some Dark Horse comics I want to compare. Try to describe the artwork here visually. Try to describe this for our listeners.
Well, I actually own some Dark Horse comics, and I was talking just about this earlier. Like, I think Dark Horse, their artwork is a little bit more, it's dark, it's grittier, but mm-hmm. it's almost more majestic, I want to say.
Almost more advanced.
Doesn't I sound see clear game, lines but... in the drawings, mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
So now we're going to look at, this is Marvel Star Wars number one. This is like a $45-ish dollar book in its current condition. Mm-hmm. So if you can see the difference in the drawing, it looks dated. It looks old school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping this collection goes up in price quite a bit. I'm excited for this.
I'm kind of jealous. Not kidding. I'm jealous of that.
Oh, this is one of my dreams. I mean, Marvel did 107 or 108 issues of Star Wars. I've got 1, 3, 5, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, and 18. I want to get the first 24. I want to get the first 2 years for my collection. That's one of my big goals.
There you go, flexing your nerd muscle again.
I know.
All right, so flex some more. I got a two-part question for you.
Go for it.
And hit me with it. All right, so sticking to Star Wars for a second, of all the 83 different Star Wars comics they've had through Dark Horse, which series or string of stories is your favorite in the Dark Horse universe?
Christ, I don't know. I don't read them.
Do you have mostly Marvel ones, or do you have a few of each?
I mean, I have two Dark Horse Star Wars comics. They're just retellings of the trilogy.
Yes, getting all technical. What's your favorite Dark Horse comic period? Obviously, you've got a lot more knowledge than I do on it, and probably Dustin as well. But who's your go-to guy?
Okay, Batman vs. Predator is really, really a fun read. It is really cool. It is written in a kind of a Frank Miller-esque style. However, having said that, I love Sin City. I didn't dig out the Sin City books I have. They're still out in the garage. That's really good writing and a lot of fun. And then I love seeing it visually represented in the films. You can when you look at the comics and then look at pause the screen on the video, you have no trouble finding exactly where that's at. They did a really great way of telling that story. I've read most all of Hellboy and the BPRD. Those are a lot of fun. God, what is she cooking back there? Smells good.
She's cooking a burrito. A beef and bean burrito.
This is going to sound silly, but this is the Flaming Carrot. Which is what, have you seen the movie Mystery Men?
Yeah,
I don't think I have.
It's a pretty silly movie.
I know they're remaking it here soon, but...
What the fuck is your wife doing back there? Is it the ice maker?
No, she's actually cooking a burrito.
Oh, this is just really loud. Flaming Carrot Comics is what the Mystery Men was based on. Now, Flaming Carrot started as a Renegade production, but it later moved to Dark Horse when Dark Horse came out, because Flaming Carrot's older. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. The mask is fun. The mask is not the Jim Carrey that you guys remember, you know. The mask is much darker, a lot of murder involved. Stanley Ipkiss ends up dying at the end of the first run of the mask, and then later as a zombie gets the mask back. They also did the crossover where the Joker gets the mask. He puts the mask on and nothing happens because he's already that shit crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of some of those fun titles that came out of it, in the very, very beginning, they had one of their very first titles was Boris the Bear. Have you read any of the Boris the Bear, issues?
No.
I think they only did, four or five.
This was before it was actually Dark Horse, too. It was, Pegasus, I think, but it was Pegasus comic books, so when he owned it, and then he transferred that over to Dark Horse or something.
Right. It's kind of a parody comic book, and it's about this teddy bear that does... he jumps into a few different situations. At one point, there's actually Boris the Bear as Batman. They also do an issue called Boris the Bear Slaughters the Teenage Radioactive Black Belt Mutant Ninja Critters.
How can you not love something with a title like that, really?
Yeah, no shit. Number four of Boris the Bear, and this is the last one I'm going to say, is... it's called The Bear of Steel, and it's like a parody of Superman. And he's ripping open his shirt, and it's got a big BS on the front of it. That's pretty funny. So I might actually look into the Boris the Bear and see what comes out of it.
That's fun. They've started producing Evil Dead since 2008. That's pretty fun. I have read some Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics from Dark Horse. They're enjoyable, but they're not great. The one I most recently read... I think, was actually from Free Comic Book Day, which is, my Christmas, Buffy and Spike are on a spaceship with roach aliens, really fucking, really stretching it. They run some Conan stories. What else do we got here? I'm looking at the list. Oh, here's one. They do G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah?
They've done G.I. Joe. Yeah. And so I have right here, just again, G.I. Joe and the Transformers. You can see Duke on the cover blowing up Bumblebee. That's
awesome.
From Marvel.
Oh,
part of my extensive, ridiculous collection.
They've done 300.
The 300. Yeah. I mean, again, Frank Miller is good stuff.
They're making a sequel to the movie, too, coming up pretty soon again, which I'm not really sure to think about that, but...
You know, Leonidas and it feels so good. I started singing that at my wife last night. I was like, we need to make a parody song about the 300. Some Indiana Jones stuff now. Original Indiana Jones run after the movies came out was from Marvel. I think I have issues 3 and 4 of that.
They write a lot of storylines for video games, actually.
Yeah, like the Terminator versus Predator I just showed, or Terminator versus RoboCop. That was a video game that they turned into this.
They've got Mass Effect, Tomb Raider.
The Old Republic as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Serenity. They do Serenity comics.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
They do the Serenity. Did they do any Firefly? Let me look here. And
I think so. No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. They just did Serenity. Yeah. A lot of Star Wars. Superman versus the Terminator. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Superman all the way.
Yeah.
So
they do run other Terminator comics. Sorry, an Army of Darkness. Mm-hmm. Xena. Do some zombie stuff. Pretty good stuff.
They've got a lot of huge titles, and I think that's because...
Soggy Yojimbo.
Soggy Yojimbo. What's this about?
Usagi Yojimbo?
Yeah.
It's a comic title that... this is the recent incarnation of it. There was an old series back in the 80s that... it's a bunny that lives in feudal Japan. Like, it's a... Okay. Kind of like a mutant rabbit. It lives in feudal Japan. It lives in another dimension where everybody's, like, animals. And it's just a fucking interesting, goofy book. But they end up making Usagi Yojimbo a character in the Ninja Turtles universe in the animated series. Mm-hmm. And they crossed over into the comics a while back, too. So, yeah, if you look it up, type in Usagi Yojimbo and tell me that you didn't have that figure or at least have seen it when you were a kid.
Picturing something. I wonder if it's the same thing.
It's a bunny in a kimono, pretty much. Bunny in a kimono. Mm-hmm.
Real, like, long and slender? Or is it something else?
With sexy legs? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm talking, like, heels and shit.
Like curvy?
Yeah.
It was
no.
Like when,
I don't know.
When Bugs Bunny used to dress up like a girl bunny and make me feel funny in the pants?
We were all there. We all know how that feels.
I think one title that we haven't mentioned... is Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Came out in 1987. That's their first manga series.
Okay. I understand that, but, like, Godzilla originally, again, was a Marvel title. They got a lot of Marvel stuff, a lot of Marvel cast-offs. Marvel even did G.I. Joe versus Godzilla back in the day, so kind of fun.
I have to look into all these verses.
Yeah, they're fun stuff.
Yeah. I bet the writers and the artists had a lot of fun writing them.
God, I want to say that they were the reason that we had Freddy versus Jason. But I'm not sure on that. Because there was Freddy versus Jason, and then there was Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Mm-hmm.
And since they currently hold the comic rights to the Evil Dead series, I would imagine it was them, but I don't know.
I feel like it would have popped up. That's a big name.
Yeah, that would have popped up. You're probably right on that.
Actually, that spawns something weird in my head, kind of a weird tangent. Have you ever heard of the game HeroClix?
No. Is that about
Mike Cooks used in there? It's like little heroes that you do battle with on a tabletop board. Talking about Freddy vs. Jason, I remember HeroClix used to be called HorrorClix, and you'd have, like, Freddy, Jason, there was an Ash figurine, all these little dudes fighting on a tabletop game, and they were all, like, history's most gruesome villains and horror characters and shit doing battle on a table. It's like D&D with the coolest characters in evil history. It was pretty sweet.
Hmm.
It's just the versus thing kind of got me going there. You shouldn't get me going.
They also do, it seems, a lot of movie comics to tie in.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is kind of interesting. Do you guys ever see Aliens vs. Predator?
I have both of them, regrettably, but yeah, I have both of them.
You have both of them, you northern piece of shit.
I'm sorry, I have AVP and AVP Requiem, and Requiem was awful.
Well, he's calling you a piece of shit because you say both.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. My speech impediment is getting in the way of your southern hickness, and my bad.
If my southern hickness means I can, you know, make a word sound the way it's spelled, like saying both and not both.
Hey, let's go down the creek and let's skip some stones on the roof.
It's spelled roof. It's spelled roof.
Just the way your mother likes it.
Yes. We'll just all agree that anybody from the region is pretty much retarded, so I will cede that fact to you.
Oh my god.
I'll put your picture in along.
We can't let your family see this.
Hear it.
They'll agree.
Whatever.
So Dark Horse Comics wrote. Oh, you seemed kind of offended that I cut you off.
No, you didn't.
Oh, and fair enough. Dark Horse Comics wrote a book concerning the Zelda games. It's called Hyrule Historia. Kurt and I just saw this on a YouTube video. I think it's a compilation. It talks about the whole Link Zelda story. It's for $21 on Amazon.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. They partner with Nintendo, and it's a whole, like, all the artwork and stuff is incredibly well done, it looks like, and whole history of Hyrule and the characters and everything.
I'm actually going to look into this book, and it was pretty cool that it just popped up that it was Dark Horse as well.
Huh. That does sound kind of interesting, so.
Yeah.
Neato.
Dark Horse is big on their strong female hero characters. They've got Lara Croft from Tomb Raider, the chick from Alien.
Ripley.
Yeah.
But most they didn't. Of the Star Wars they, you can't say that because Dark Horse didn't create aliens.
But they wrote a lot into them. I mean, they.
Well, it's also fair to say that they feature very strong characters, both from like popular culture and their own creations.
Oh, yeah, like in Sin City, where all the women are whores. Yeah. And the 300, where it's 300
men. Horses can be strong, too. They can be.
Oh, let's see.
People, when I tell them, I can be people.
Let's see, it's called Mystery Men. It's called Hellboy. That's weird. What else is on?
I try to give one shout-out to
the... Oh, you're right, Barbed Wire. Yeah, I forgot Barbed Wire, featuring Pamela Anderson. Let's talk about the movies of Dark Horse real quick.
Okay, yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Dr. Giggles.
Yes, I saw that on the Wikipedia page. Ridiculous.
Have you seen the movie?
I have seen bits and pieces of it while drinking alcohol in large quantities.
Okay.
So you'll have to refresh me a bit.
Never seen it, so I was just curious.
It's very low budget from what I remember. But, I mean, come on, The Mask is probably going to be the one that you got to start off with, because that was, like, Mike Richardson's, like, baby, the comic, and then the movie. He actually had a big hand in the movie, even though it was nothing related to comic books. But Mask was, I mean, still a funny fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. And remember, the bad guy in it was also the guy that liked to fuck the gimp in Pulp Fiction. That's all I'm saying.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Time Cop.
Mm-hmm.
That's
we said Mystery Men, AVP, obviously, and obviously Hellboy too. Because I looked this up. This is kind of interesting. Like Mike Richardson, he did a bunch of Hellboy animated series stuff. He actually won an Emmy for Hellboy the animated series, Sword of Storms, which I've actually watched.
Not an animated series; those were direct-to-video movies.
Were they okay? Because
Sword of Storms, Blood and Iron.
I remember watching some of it. It's really good stuff. It's really fun to watch.
Like the Spawn animated series back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of
that. Aliens vs. Predator. Have you guys seen Predator 2?
Yeah, with Danny Glover.
With Danny Glover. Did you notice in the trophy room on the Predator ship the skull of an alien?
I did not.
I'm not observant enough.
In the background, when they are fighting on the ship, in the very poor special effects, in the background, on the wall of skulls of different aliens that this predator has killed, there is the Ripley alien skull. And this was before Dark Horse had the rights to produce aliens and predators together. So it was just kind of a nod, and it was really kind of cool to me that, you know, whatever, 15 years later, you get Aliens vs. Predator, the movie, let alone the comic books. So,
very cool.
Yeah, I have to go back. I mean, sitting through Predators 2 is a little difficult sometimes, but I might have to do it just to see that part, just because that's some badassery right there.
Hey, you know, it's got anything with Bill Paxton. Ooh.
Yeah, he does a lot of random shit. You know, being a Mormon and stuff too on TV, that's always good. It's kind of like being an alien.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I like to offend everybody.
Mitt Romney is going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
He probably already has. I'm being wiretapped by both sides.
Both? God damn it.
That's good.
Make fun of Mormons, and you can make fun of Region people. We'll keep it at that.
Okay. Anyway. Of course, you have to choose to be a Mormon. I'm making fun of you because of where you were born.
Yes. You can shut up. I feel bad as it is already.
Fair enough. Moving on.
Yeah. I'd say that one of the big reasons that we now have all these huge names, huge titles, excellent artwork, excellent writing, was because of the way Mike Richardson built up the company.
You went Richardson.
Yeah, Richardson. Okay. I had a little bit of a stroke there.
It's okay.
One of my sides is a little numb. Is that bad?
Okay, let's
see. Dude, I do and raise your arm.
Okay, he had his bookshop called Pegasus Books, I believe, and he was very frustrated with the quality of the books that he was selling. So just he up and decided to start Dark Horse Comics, and he pulled together some talent. And what he did, instead of making them employees, he made them partners in the company. He made it a huge team, and that actually brought in a lot of other big talent like Frank Miller and a lot of those big guys. They were attracted to Dark Horse Comics because of the environment that the artists and the writers got to work in. And I think that helped bloom it into the company that it is today.
Sounds good. Hey, isn't oh fuck beans. Never mind, I was wrong.
Well,
I don't know
why
I thought Judge Dredd was a fucking dark horse.
Seems like it should be.
Yeah, it kind of seems in the same realm as Time Cop, I guess. Well, not really, but I was going to ask, a lot of these guys, they were kind of unhappy with, Marvel and DC. And
they did Judge Dredd versus Aliens. I knew
also
I saw Judge Dredd
crossover.
There you
go.
So, a lot of these guys are unhappy with, Marvel and DC and the King of Dark Horse. Like, Frank Miller, I don't know how many guys have done this. Maybe, Matt, you would know, but obviously he's done Dark Horse with 300 and Sin City. He did early Daredevil stuff for, Marvel, and he also did some Batman stuff for DC, didn't he?
Some Batman stuff? He did the Batman stuff.
So, it was Batman Dark Knight Rises, right?
Dark Knight Returns.
Right, Returns, I'm sorry. You know, movie, whatever. But, so that's why you're here to correct me when I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I'm sorry.
That's why he's here for me, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of just for the show. Me being an ass with my friends.
Yep.
Nerdy.
It reminds me of the good old days. But, Frank Miller did, everything, the top three. But a lot of these guys were just, unhappy with the way Marvel and DC did stuff, so they kind of came over to Dark Horse and really made it what it is today.
Yeah,
I feel like that has given us a better Marvel and DC.
Yeah,
they have to step up their game a little bit.
I think the artists and the writers all know that they have options now, that they don't have to stay there. And I think we're getting, with the Batman Court of Owls is a really great example of a very young writer making a really great comic book. And, they gave him complete creative license and control. They're not trying to edit him and make him go in a certain direction or whatever. Very interesting and very, very good writing. Batman Court of Owls is great shit. First time, they introduced a new Batman villain in, fucking 30 or 40 years.
Who is it? I'm curious.
The Talon.
The Talon? I'll check it out. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I'm a Marvel guy. I never really got behind DC a whole lot. I mean, the characters are cool, but I just always like Marvel characters better.
I'm a Marvel zombie, but I'll read Batman. I like Batman. I like
There's some classic characters in DC, definitely. But the artwork and just the creativity in these comic books has evolved so much, really, even recently too. It's just gotten better, and that's one of the reasons why I never read comics as a kid. I wish I did. But I didn't start reading until I was in college because my roommates kind of got me onto them and you got me onto, like, Star Wars and shit. And just comparing the stuff I read then to, like, the older stuff from the 70s and 60s and before, it's a whole black and white almost.
Mm-hmm. It's a completely different world now.
Oh, yeah. I think that the comic books grew up and evolved with the readers that had started reading when they were young. They, all these young readers grew up to be adults. They wanted books that were more in-depth.
And yeah, they wrote stories that they wanted to read.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And my favorite stuff is these crossovers, like with Dark Horse, seeing these cool pair-ups. Like, by themselves, some of the Marvel characters' comic book stories are kind of boring sometimes, but when you cross them into the Avengers and throw all these people together, or the new Avengers, and you put Wolverine with, like, Spider-Man stuff, that stuff kind of gets... I like that. I like when they cross the storylines over.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite storylines ever. It's not even a storyline, really. It's like an Elseworlds thing, but like Marvel versus DC.
Mm-hmm.
Or DC versus Marvel when they did that. And then they had the Amalgam Universe for a couple of weeks. That fucking... I collect the Amalgam comics. I love that. I thought that was hilarious. Can you imagine Batman and Wolverine fused into one body? He was called Dark Claw. Yeah. Amazing shit.
Unstoppable.
Are you much of a gamer, Matt, at all? Do you game at all?
No.
No?
I play Legos games on the Wii.
The Legos games are BA. We'll just go with that. But there's an Xbox 360 game that we play at work a lot. I work at Best Buy, and we have an arcade system actually in our break room that we play. And it's Marvel versus Capcom.
I play that. But that's from, like, 2001.
Yeah, it's just an older game, but man, do I love playing it. Like, I'll put, like, the Resident Evil characters against, like, Spider-Man and Wolverine and, like, weirdest pairings ever in the world, but they're doing battle. Like, that shit interests me. I like that. It's kind of cool because it's odd. It's different.
That sounds lovely. That's like the DC Mortal Kombat game that came out, but that sucked.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, it wasn't very good, but...
Yeah, good concept, I guess.
They could have done a lot more with it.
Well, they have this new DC game coming out called Injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fight to the death of the entire DC universe.
You pit any DC character against another.
That I would play.
You could be Superman and rip the head off of Wonder Woman. You can just, it's, and anything goes.
And I have wanted to
the cover
that
of it
so
is
long.
Superman and Batman going at each other.
That's neat. I would play that for hours probably and never come out of my bedroom.
Because you'd fuck the dead corpse of Wonder Woman?
Amongst other things, sure, yeah, you know.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Guy has needs.
So, I think that's going to probably have to be the end of our discussion this week, boys.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple more things. They have an Android app, and there's a lot of, you can read a lot of the Dark Horse comics on digital.darkhorse.com.
There you go. If you don't know what the fuck we're talking about, and you're like, why the fuck am I still listening to this? Check it out.
You can check out their Facebook page, and they have a Twitter account, at Dark Horse Comics. So.
And a YouTube channel, too, apparently, from what we saw.
Oh, yeah,
saw
the YouTube channel tonight.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
They're on social media, for sure.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, guys. Well, from the captain's chair, just want to say set your phasers to stun, and have a great week, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Say bye, boys.
bye, Matt. Wait, Matt. Guess what?
What?
I got something to tell you.
I know.
Why did the Flash quickly leave the greasy diner?
He had a case of the runs.
Is
that
ruined
it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Because he had a bad case of the runs.